Let's just bow our heads, because I believe that what I'm about to give to you, I pray that God will use it as a tool to awaken you away from tradition and to really take God's word for what it really says. So, Father, without you anointing these words, they're just going to be words. So I'm asking that you would anoint them. Whoever is listening, let their ears hear, and let there be perception in their hearts to understand, so that all the things of tradition may fall away, and that which is of you come really truly to life, and let it happen in us, in Jesus' name. Sunday we were in 1 Thessalonians, today we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to be in chapter 1. The Lord is not walking away from this quest that he's got us on to awaken to the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing and not to give up, no matter what. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians in God, our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So this gives you a press to understand that things happen for a reason. Verse 5 says, all this is evident that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Did you hear that? Unless you decide to pay them back. If you decide to pay them back, guess what's going to happen? God's not going to give the payback. Amen? Okay. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. Kind of cool, huh? And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels. Now, I love that part because it gives you an understanding, not just something that's going to happen down the road. That's going to happen now. It happens even now. It happens 2,000 years ago when this letter was written, roughly. And it's happening now. Revelation of Jesus is not something that's just going to happen when he returns, because he's already returned. He returned in his day of Pentecost, remember? How did he come? As tongues of fire. So, did he enter you and me with tongues of fire? Yes, he did. So, it's something that's happened. Okay? And Jesus revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Verse 10 is where I'm looking to really get you to see. On the day he comes to be glorified in. If you don't have a circle around in, you should. Put a little circle there. It's not just in the earth, in his holy people. And to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believe, our testimony to you. Now I want you to listen to the Amplified. because the Amplified gives you even more to think about. Verse 10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints, are you his saints? All right, so you qualify. That is, on that day, he will be made more glorious in his consecrated people. In, not outside, inside of you and me. Amen? And he will be marveled at and admired. Then it says in parentheses, in his glory reflected in all who have believed. In some who have believed, or in all? All who have believed, who have adhered to, trusted in, and relied on yourselves. That's Kim's version. Relied on whom?
Him.
Because our witnessing among you was confidently accepted and believed and confirmed in your lives. I love the part, confirmed in your lives. So this was happening then to them. Is it happening to you now? Are you conscious of who's living inside of you? Are you aware that he has definitely got his fire going in the inside of you and me? How many have ever experienced a real pressure that God's wanting you to give up something and you're having a hard time giving it up? Yeah. Well, that's because he's got his fire ready and he wants that fire to be released in you, but you've got to give him permission. You've got to be able to say to him, look, I've got this problem. I don't even want to get rid of it, because I like it. It feels good. I don't care what the blank is, because you can fill the blank in with whatever difficulty you got. Could be getting up in the morning. It could be going to bed at night. Whatever it is, give it to him. And tell him, just like I'm telling you right now, Lord Jesus, I want to be having you come in with your fire and burn this stuff out. Get rid of it for me. I can't. I give up. It's all yours. And when you do that and begin to thank him for the revelation of letting that fire burn it out, he will begin to change your thought patterns. He'll begin to change your desire on his own because you gave him permission to clean you up. And that's cool. So, I want you to go to verse 11. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling. Now, and his every gracious purpose of goodness and with the power to complete in every particular work of faith. Faith, which is that leaning of the whole human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Woohoo! Isn't that cool? You understand where he's coming from? Leaning on the whole human personality of God with absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Thus may the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and become more glorious through and in you. It's in you. And may you also be glorified in him, according to the grace, favor, and blessing of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, said to the Lord, how do I perceive to make this real to my brothers and sisters? How do I get this inside of their hearts? And I'd like to kind of flow to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah is talking about Jesus coming into the earth. And in verse 1 he says, "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse," David's father, "and a branch out of his root shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of reverential and obedience fear of the Lord." I like that. Now that's talking about what was inside of Jesus. "And shall make him of quick understanding." Wouldn't it be nice to have quick understanding? "And his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears." Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? You can, if you let him come in with his fire, take out all your judgmental attitudes and all your criticalness, and you'll be able to have this, because see, he's already in there in seed form. Did you not receive the Holy Spirit? Is his fire already inside of you? And therefore he's able to clean this up, and therefore when the old is cleaned up, what do you think going to happen? The seeds of life. And if you go back, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom." So when you received the Holy Spirit, did you receive the Spirit of wisdom? Did you receive the Spirit of understanding? Did you receive the Spirit of counsel? Did you receive the Spirit of might? Did you receive the Spirit of knowledge and reverential and obedient fear of the Lord? Have you got this? Yeah. Now, I at one point said to the Lord, "I don't see this stuff in me." And he reminded me of when we planted a garden. When you put seeds in the ground and you cover it up, like you're going to be probably doing with some, I'm sure you probably already did some. You cover it up with the dirt, what do you see? Do you take care of it? The sun comes out, you water it if you have to, and what happens? Do you have to work to make that seed crack open? No. It does it all by itself. Are you not made out of? What is this earth suit made out of? Dust. Yeah. Earth. Yeah. And water. Yeah. So do you think that seed that God put you inside of you and me, of all these wonderful attributes of the Spirit of the Father, when you receive the Holy Spirit, can he get this stuff to grow? I learned that if I didn't let him burn out the old stuff first. And the Indians used to burn their fields. Why? They wanted to burn the seeds of chaff. They wanted to burn all the old garbage. And then they put in what? The good stuff. And they had a tremendous harvest. Now, why am I saying this to you? Because I'm trying to get you to comprehend that the Spirit of God is wanting a people that are holy. He wants to perfect his people. He wants to transform us and to really change us. Now, if you look at verse 3, "And shall make him a quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears." Why? Can they be trusted? What you see up front, is it really the truth? What you see before you, is it really the fullness of truth? I watched kind of a silly show the other day. And when I watched it, it was about somewhat of a spiritual warfare movie, if you wish, about police officers. And it was kind of in an occultic manner, but it was still bringing a picture across that I thought was kind of neat. Because the main character watched a man being exterminated, if you wish. But the spirit that was in that man hated the officer who had caught him. And the picture goes on and on and on about how now all kinds of things are happening, people are dying, and the blame is coming on the officer. And he's not guilty. And he's got literally people coming up to him, and they're speaking to him the exact same words that came out of the one that was murdered by the state for the commission, for the murders that he had committed. And I said to the Lord, you know, I know that this is something that's true, because I know that negative forces don't die with the patient. Amen? The negative force is going to go off and try to kill the next person down the road. Now, if that's true of the negative spirit, what about the Holy Spirit? Okay? I mean, how much more powerful is the positive versus the negative? How much more power is in the light of that fire? Because the fire of God is light. And that fire and light is much more powerful than the darkness. So if we begin to be comprehending that the Holy Spirit has us, and he's just saying, just release this garbage that you're having a hard time with. Give it to Jesus. Let the fire come. It'll burn. It'll burn it all. It may take a while. How many know sometimes it takes a while to burn it up? Because I like to change my mind sometimes and go back. I mean, I have that problem periodically. Because my flesh screams. Okay? It wants attention. Do I like to let it die? Well, I'd like to say the words that I do, but sometimes the flesh has got an attitude of its own. Amen? So what am I saying to you tonight? Jesus is alive and well in you. He is doing a mighty work. And we'll go back to verse 10. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. And on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and be marveled at among all those who have believed, this includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. St. Paul was pushing the buttons to make the Thessalonian church aware that Jesus was coming on a day chosen by him to reveal himself to them. Hasn't stopped. There are times that I see Jesus in me, and I'm sure that there are times that you see Jesus in you, operating in obedience, and you're aware of it. How many know what I'm talking about? You just know that you know that it's the Holy Spirit, the Jesus Spirit that's in you, just doing a mighty work. And you're not going to be glorified out of it, because you know it's not you that did it. It's him that did it. And when you're aware of this, it gives you a little slice of trust that he's done one part. He's going to continue doing the next part and continue doing the next part and filling you with more and more of his grace. And it's going to be done by grace. So, in retrospect to Have you aware that he will be glorified in his people? There was a thought pattern that I would like to leave with you that may help you. When Jesus was about to go to the mountain, he didn't choose the whole 12 to go to the mountain with him, did he? He only chose 3, Peter, James, and John. Why would he choose only 3? Figure it out. Why would he choose only 3? What was wrong with the other crew? What was wrong with them? There wasn't anything wrong with them. Why?
It was just the closeness and desire of Peter, James, and John.
Did they have a little extra hunger compared to the others, maybe?
Right. Their hearts were more open. They wanted more of what the Lord had to offer.
Yeah. Could they maybe be trusted more? Why didn't he take Judas up there? Huh? And you know, why didn't he take the purse away from Judas? That's a good question. I mean, if you've got somebody that's in your place of work and he's robbing you left and right, and you know it, wouldn't you say, hey, can we have a little talk? Or would you let him continue? Yeah, we'd have a little talk. See how strange our God is? I'm sure that the Lord Jesus went to Papa and said, hey, you know that one that you told me to pick there? You know, he's kind of a bad apple. Can we get rid of him before he turns the rest of them sour? What do you think Daddy said?
No!
I've got a plan for him! Do you think that Jesus wanted to know what the plan was for Judas?
Probably.
Do you think that maybe Papa didn't tell him right away? Probably not. But I'm sure that at one point, before he got to the table, he did get to know, because he says, I know which one's going to betray me. Kind of cool, huh? Do you ever have a knowing that somebody's about to betray you? If you have, put your hand up. And you know it because of the signals. Why? They're dropping little hints here and there that they've got a different attitude towards you. And they're about to drop a bomb on you. And you know it. Are you always going to have a chit-chat? You might try. How many have tried and failed? I have. I tried and failed. Because you know what? They defended their cause. They defended their cause, and I was wrong and they were right. Now, what do we do with that? Was I wrong? Was I right? I mean, at the moment, I thought it was a great idea to talk, you know, and expose their plan. But you know what? They strategized and did it again at a deeper level. So I would have been better off to do what Jesus did and listen to Papa. And let them cook their own goose. And I can tell you truthfully, I've learned that lesson because I remember one time saying to the Lord, why is it so hard to get through to somebody that's already convinced that they're right? It's because they're already convinced that they're right. They've already made the decision, you are not right. They are right. So you might as well just go with the flow and wait for the Lord to let them complete their mission, whatever that happens to be. In the case of Judas, it was go do quickly what you got to do. That was his final words, right? Go do quickly what you got to do. Now, do you think that when these 3 were chosen to go to the mountain, that they had greater character traits than Judas? Obviously they did. Okay? So, were they perfect? Absolutely not. Were they more trustworthy with a message and a vision that they would never forget as long as they lived? Yeah. Because you see, when they came down the mountain, Jesus says, you are not to reveal this until the Son of Man has risen. Duh. That would be at least 6 more months. Did you ever have to hold a secret for 4 to 6 months? That's what we're talking about right now. I believe that when we look at what happened in China, and I was watching some of that on CNN the other night, and I was just weeping on the inside. And the Lord said, stop. And I said, okay. He says, you're letting your emotions get the best of you. I know how to take care of all of my creation. I know how to take care of all of my creation. And I took a deep breath and I said, okay, Lord, try to get out of my emotions. My emotions and your emotions can get you into trouble. Holy Spirit is able to focus on the Lord only. So that's my prayer tonight. So if you'll bow your head. Lord Jesus, let this word come alive in each one of our brothers and sisters. And even these that are listening on the internet. Lord, let this word bring new life into their hearts. And let it really transform the way they think about themselves. The way they perceive Jesus to be in the earth. Even as we speak, he's in my earth, he's in their earth, and he's in your earth. And he's alive by the power of his fire on each side. Yes, on the inside of each and every one of us until we manifest all of the gifts of his Spirit to the fullness of God's plan. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen.